Blog Talk Radio. Press star to send this message now. Press pound or hang up. Your message has been sent. Thank you for calling. Goodbye. To replay your message, press 1. To continue recording, press 2. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To send a fax, press 6. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up. To replay your message, press 1. To continue recording, press 2. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To send a fax, press 6. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up. To replay your message, press 1. To continue recording, press 2. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To send a fax, press 6. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up. Your message has been sent. Thank you for calling. Goodbye.
Testing.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, you hear me?
Yeah. We live. We had the call was dropped.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just let everybody know we had technical difficulty, but we coming back on. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, we getting ready to go in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You're on.
Welcome, everybody, to Let's Talk About It All. I'm your host, Shot D. We had technical difficulties, so we're just going to start off with the topic rather than go through all three topics. We're going to start off with a topic. We're going to start off with... What do you think caused the disconnect between parents and their children? That's the topic we're going to start off with. I mean, you think about it from the time when we were children it was like we had a disconnect with our parents. And now for those of us who are parents, I'm pretty sure you have a disconnect with your children. So with that being said, let's talk about it. Let's figure out, why do we have the disconnect? Is it because the times changed over the years, such as our parents were dealing with different circumstances than we were dealing with? You think about when our parents were going to school, a lot of them was dealing with racial epithets of basically not being able to look at white people a certain way. Some of them wasn't able to go to school with white people. Also, there was a fear of white people, of what they may do to you during those times, you know, 60s, 50s, 40s, things of that nature. There was a fear. So by the time we came along, there were still white children in the school. However, I don't remember being afraid of any white children. Matter of fact, some of them we used to actually attack. And there were some that were cool. So I'm saying this, you know, as one part of something that was different during the times of our parents versus us. Another thing was different was wages. Wages that were for jobs. I remember hearing my parents, grandparents, speaking about making 50 cents an hour, things of that nature. I also remember during the time when I was a child that you could go to the store and get a gallon of milk for like 99 cents, and bread was like 45 cents, cigarettes was like 50 cents. Okay, bring it up to another part of the situation. There was a closeness during that time when we were children where it seemed we had a neighborhood where you knew the neighbors versus now speeding up sometime with our children and us, how many neighbors do you actually know? How many people in your neighborhood do you actually know? As far as if you moved in a new neighborhood. For the neighborhood I grew up in, there's still some people that I knew from the neighborhood that I grew up in. However, there's a lot of people in the neighborhood that I don't know. So I'm just striving to put out different little tidbits of during the generation that changes. Okay, we have the children now. They have access to cell phones. Cell phones open up a whole different world than when we were younger, where there were phone books and landlines. So just the phone alone created a large difference, a large gap between information that they receive to the information that we receive. One of the things is you could go online and pretty much pull up any information you want. The other thing is, before there was cell phones, we didn't have to deal with some of the actions that the children deal with now, such as, okay, if we get into a fight, and we mentioned this last week, this was mentioned by a caller last week, we get into a fight, you just have a crowd of people. Whoever was there, see the fight. Whoever wasn't there, they have to hear about it. Now, with the technology that we have now, you can get into a fight today, tomorrow, or later on during that day, 5,000, 10,000, up to a million people could have viewed the fight and see you win or lose. The other thing is, I think, you know, as parents, our parents used to send us outside to play. You know, we play stuff like 1, 2, 3, red light, hot peas and butter, eat the peg, different games. You know, now the children pretty much are in house playing video games or just games on their phones. So just with the point of the technology, I see that created a generation gap for us as parents, as did the racial differences created a generation gap with our parents, and as well as our parents were forced to work, and they were able to work earlier than we were able to work. I've heard discussions amongst my parents and others among that age bracket that they were working as early as 13 years old. Now, by the time we came up, you weren't able to work until you were like 16, and that was like a summer job. And if you didn't get a summer job, you weren't really able to work. So I think it created a work ethic that we saw coming up. However, some of us also realized, you know, it was a struggle. You know, we grew up where it was a struggle. Fast forward up to nowadays, it seems that a lot of the children, the ones that are willing to work, they do quite well. However, the other ones who have some reservations about working seem to struggle. It appears to me that although wages have increased, the cost of living has increased even more. So it's creating a situation where our children seem to be more dependent on us than we were on our parents. If anyone's on the line, I'd like for someone to press one and give me their thoughts about that. Do they agree? Do they agree that that's the case, that that's happening? That with our children, some of them are being more dependent on us than we were on our parents. Hello? Is someone on the line?
No, I'm trying to call somebody who told me they wanted to listen, but I'm having trouble getting through. So I'll let you know when they get through.
Oh, okay. All right. We're going to continue. Now, beyond the situation of the job situation, we still have communication, the communication level, where when we speak to our children, it's a difference in their response compared to the response that we gave our parents. And I would imagine our parents towards their parents. There was a saying that do what I say, not as I do. And we respected that. We respected that because there was consequences behind not respecting that. However, now it seems that there's been certain things put in place that kind of give your children a way out where they start, you know, where they really started pushing that child abuse thing, where they really started coming into your home and being willing to take your children. If your children complain of child abuse and they really was investigating that. So it to some degree tied parents' hands on disciplining their children in a physical way. And to discipline your child doesn't necessarily mean that you have to abuse them. It got to a point where they were promoting a timeout. Where you sit your children in the corner, tell your children sit down and take some time and think about what they did and then come back. And believe you, I'm not opposed to that. I'm not opposed to using that technique with your children at times. I believe it could be a valuable technique if it's used properly. I believe that. However, when children are, you know, 2, 3, sometimes speaking to them don't really get their attention. And you may have to, you know, tap them on the butt, tap them on the head or something to get their attention and let them know, no, that's not, don't do that. Hello? And the other thing is, I think because we have a lot of, I think maybe I want to say we had more single parents now than we did when I was growing up. I want to say that, you know, statistically and based on my own observation, having a single parent without adequate co-parenting can be difficult for either or, male love or female, man or woman. And we'll have the tendency to, after working all day, not having enough time to dedicate attention, the attention that's needed to the children, and which caused the children to slip. You know, to slip, and with all the access they have to different types of videos, games, other people, it's imperative that we be aware of that. I think a good idea would be when we give our children tablets and cell phones, we kind of childproof them to where it limits access to what they can actually pull up and watch, pull up and be exposed to. I think they're being exposed to too much of the wrong thing and not enough of the right thing. And which, when we start trying to connect with them, their mind is totally on something we are not even aware that their minds are on, which creates that disconnect that we were talking about with the topic, being disconnected from parents to children, which creates a whole other type of issues for us as people and as well as us as parents. When our children are not being, we already know based on the education that many of us receive that was my personal opinion, mediocre at best, and compared to now with some of the stuff that we had at that time was taken away, such as art, shop, wood shop, as well as sewing, baking, things of that nature, where we were exposed to those things were, I believe, were an excellent part of the education. However, I think where it became mediocre is when it came to teaching us the history and the history of this country, and basically giving us a one-sided history where we were just basically slaves fighting for our rights, you know? That's pretty much the history that was given from at least grammar school to high school. Colleges started getting a little better, but by then you're kind of molded in a mentality where you feeling inferior. And I think that as a people, as a community, having the disconnect that we have we have to strive to start reconnecting by finding time to spend with our children from the ages of, I want to say, from 3 to 13, but more so 3 to 7, doing a lot of reading with them. Reading to them about our culture. Giving them information about our culture so we can at least have a connection about when we talk about us as a people, as a culture, we can have a connect that can't be broken by any outside forces such as school, internet, media, things of that nature. I think it's imperative for us to be able to do that in a manner that's going to be beneficial in the long run to us as a people and our children growing into young adults. Anybody on the line who would like to comment? If not, we're going to go to a song. We're going to go to a break. And we'll be coming back shortly.
Just
Okay, welcome back, everyone. All of you out there, thank you for tuning in. You could have been anywhere. You chose to be with us tonight. Just want to let you know that if you want to join in the conversation, just press 1. If you enter into the conversation, we're going to begin with the next topic, which is, how much time should a person take from a breakup before getting into a new relationship? Anybody with any feedback on that? Should I say it again? How much time should you take? Hello? Hello? Do we have a caller?
4785, you live. Good afternoon. Good evening.
Good evening.
I think that when it comes down to a breakup, each individual takes time out in different frame. Sometimes it's according to what type of breakup you have, take longer, some shorter. But I think a break is really good. Far as me, on a personal level, I lost my husband 6 years ago, and I dated off and on, but I just feel that me as a person, that I wasn't really ready to move on because I still was dealing with the relationship I had. I felt that I needed to evaluate myself, that the next time I get in a relationship, it would go forward in a different way. I needed first to know my worth. I also needed to find out what I had to bring into a relationship. I need to know what I was going to tolerate in a relationship. Also, I needed to find out, did I have my life together, want to get in a relationship and have that person to get my life together for me. So I think that in each person, they need to take out time to decide about moving forward in another relationship or just time. Sometimes you just need space just to clear your head from all the things that you've been through, you've seen, that was talked about. It's a very private thing, but I think that you should not let anyone come in between your time and say that you need to go start dating or you need somebody. It should be your decision and your time because it's your life. And sometimes you just spend time with people that it's not going to be in your life for long. You wasted time, and time you cannot get back. But as the time has went by for me, I think that I'm ready now to get into another relationship because I have all the things that I felt that was holding me back and wouldn't make me have a better relationship. So I feel that now I have a good foundation that if I did meet someone that I'm coming well-equipped with the things that I need to be able to have a healthy relationship.
Okay. You definitely had some valid points. I totally agree with all of the information that you gave. Especially in the case of a loved one passing away, like, as you said, that's a different type of breakup. You know, that's a forced breakup. So not only do you have to get yourself together from not having the person, you also have to have the grieving process for the person. And that there's no set time for that, for your grieving process. As you said, it depends on you as an individual One of the things also that I like that you said is you wanted to take time for yourself. You wanted to get to know your do's and don'ts, what you want from a person, what you're bringing to the table. I think that's very important in relationships before, when ending a relationship, before jumping back into a new relationship. I think it's super important that we take time to heal. Take time to heal from whatever went wrong in the relationships or for the most part, what we contributed to the breakup in cases where two people split up, and the case where we lose a person, we want to be able to just reflect on, okay, what we had with that person is what we had with that person, what we want to have, some of that with the next person, or do we want to have something totally different than what we have with that person? And the key component, it's going to be you. It's going to be what you desire, what you're willing, as you said, what you're willing to tolerate and what you're not willing to tolerate. I think it's very important for both men and women to have that understanding within themselves of what you're willing to tolerate. How far are you going to go to make a relationship work? When is that pullback point? When is that point where you say, oh, I can't deal with this. This is a deal breaker. And you walk away from the relationship. I think because we don't give ourselves enough time to heal a lot of times, we blow potentially good relationships because we come into the new relationship with our old baggage, and we're putting that old baggage on a new individual that has nothing to do with where we picked that baggage up from. What do you think, Carl? Hello?
I think it's true because relationship, I always say, is a blessing, because everyone don't get a chance to be in a relationship. And I always say that when you get into one, that you should do your utmost to make it work. I remember when I first got married to my husband, I told him, I said, our parents didn't have great marriages. I said, but we have a chance to make ours better by taking different points and making it better for us. Or we could just go on and be like our parents at the end. You know what I mean? Like, you have a clean slate with each other. So whatever you bring into the relationship, you talk about it, and you delete, and then you add. And then sometimes you have to bring back something, and maybe it didn't work at the beginning, but it might work as time go on. Years of being with someone, you have to regenerate different things. You have to regenerate the way you feel about each other. You have to renew what you think, because, like, sometimes one person might outgrow the other person. Sometimes you grow together. Sometimes you don't care for the things the person is doing, and you don't like it, but you're together. So you have to work it out what you don't like. I didn't like sports. My husband loved sports. But it didn't bother me, because I said, that's what he liked. That's who the person I fell in love with. So I didn't have to join in on him, but I didn't make it bad for him because he wanted to watch sports. You know what I mean? That was his hobby, and I had to accept it.
Right. Okay. you brought up an interesting point. I think that that is very important in relationships and giving relationships longevity, which is being that you have two people coming together, two different outlooks on a relationship. I think you both need your own hobbies. You both need something or some things that you can do separate of the individual that you're with. I think that's where you actually get a chance to build what they say, when you're away from someone, your heart grows fonder. Like you get a chance to not cloud a person. I think a lot of relationships start fizzling because you have some people who are more clingy than others, and they want to spend a lot of time with that individual. Do we have another caller? We have another caller on the line?
Yeah, hi, this is Solution, and I'm just standing by. You requested or asked me to show up at your show today.
Yes.
I am here, and I'm just standing by. So, hello.
Okay, I mean, have you been listening long? Do you want to chime in on what we were just speaking of?
Just a few minutes. I haven't gotten the thorough gist of what you're going at, and I'm not on the computer. I'm just on the phone. So I'll listen for another 5 minutes or so and catch the gist of what you're talking about.
Okay. All right.
All right. I'll be standing by.
Okay. Basically, what we were saying, another caller, do you agree that as a couple you need some self-time, basically, something that you enjoy doing? As you said, your husband enjoyed sports. So when he was watching sports, did you have something that you do that you enjoy doing?
Yeah, I like to read. So while he was doing sports, I would be reading, or, you know, I like movies on the TV, or, you know, maybe I would go and visit my parents while he's doing, you know, watching sports. What I would like to say is about a relationship, it's two individuals that's two separate people. You know what I mean? And two people that come together don't mean that you're going to meet back together. Sometimes you're going to bump heads. But that's all in growing in a relationship. If you met a person and you see that they like sports, then when you get with them, you can't be like, well, you don't spend no time with me. Well, you always watching sports, or you always hanging with your friends. That's how you met that person. So y'all have to come into agreement and say, okay, Monday, Wednesday, whatever, if you want to do sports, but Tuesday and Thursday, how about time with me? You know what I mean? Like, I don't like people saying it's 50-50, because it's not 50-50. It's 100 or it's 1,000 that you're supposed to give into that relationship, because this is somebody you're spending your time with, your life. It's like your job. You give your job 8 hours, you get paid at the end of the week. A relationship is something that you're going to be with for the rest of your life, and you want to build upon that. So when you bump heads with each other, talk about it. I always, like me, when I was, like I said, when I was married or in a relationship, if we had an argument or got angry, I wouldn't go to bed without resolving it, because you're not supposed to linger being angry and then wake up, be still angry with the person. So if I didn't resolve it, I said, well, you know what? It wasn't all that I got to carry it through the night and lose my sleep worrying about what was said or what was done. You know what I mean? Start a new chapter the next morning. Because most things that relationships you argue about is really nothing. You know what I mean? Because it's really just about enjoying yourself and getting to where you both need to be. I help you to move up. You help me to move up into the things that we both want to get in life together. Sometimes we just miss that point, and then later on we'd be like, dog, we kind of got a house together, or we could have went somewhere, whatever. But we can't because we stay worrying about what that person. You know, some people, they have their phone on location to find out where their man or woman is at. Or they look at their man's phone. They look at their woman's phone. They, you know, they checking on. That's too much time worrying about checking on somebody that is an adult. We need to stop doing that. You know what I mean? If you don't trust that person, there's no need to be with them.
I totally agree with that. I definitely agree that if you get to that point where you're uncomfortable with a person to the act where you have to search and try to, you know, catch the person doing something that's, you know, foul, that'd be cheating, then I do think you should let the person go. The other thing which you were saying, as far as not going to bed angry, I think that's a great solution. You know, I think that's a great solution. I think that's something that any couple should strive to make sure that's something they implement into their relationship. I think it's very important, because what if the person goes to sleep and don't wake up and you're angry? I mean, that's a tough pill to swallow. The other thing that you kind of touched on is basically, if you meet a person and they like sports or they like hanging with their friends or whatever, you find a way to, you know, okay, you set some time aside for you and your mate, which I totally agree. And on that aspect, it's just basically what you were saying is compromise. You have to be able to compromise. I think. Go ahead.
Let me say one thing. I was married for 10 years. We went to church and stuff, different churches. So one night, my husband said, "Well, I'm going to Bible study, and I'll see you later." And I said, "Well, the food will be on the stove. I'll see you. I was tired." My husband stepped out of the door and went to church. He fell and he broke his neck. 2 weeks later, I had to pull the plug on him. So what I'm saying is, in life, is you never know what's going to happen. If this is the person that you say you love, spend all the time that you have with them, and don't look at the negative. Look at the positive. It's always negative, don't get me wrong. But think about the positive. But look, I can never ask him what happened to him, how did he feel about me. You know, I could never tell him that, you know what, you were good to me. I can't tell him those things because he's gone. I didn't get that chance. You know what I'm saying? So while a person is alive and breathing and could change and open, new doors could open and new things could happen for you, appreciate them. Because when a person closes their eyes, you know, just like you said about a relationship being over, you don't get that again. So I'm just saying, value the moments that we have while we have them.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I think we, you know, some of us in relationships spend too much time rehashing old issues that are over. The issues were in the past. I think, you know, sure, at some point you want to talk about things that hurt your feelings, things that you didn't like in a relationship. I think that's important to be able to discuss certain certain things that you like and your dislikes. I think that's important to be able to discuss those type of things. However, I also think that sometimes in a relationship, me personally, you have to be mindful of certain, bringing up certain feelings and certain things that, like you said, that's negative. Because what happens is, if all you can bring up with your partner, your mate, is the negative they've done, it affects the emotions that they show you. Because after you've chewed a person out, if you told a person, I don't like the way you talk to me, I don't like what you did 3 months ago, and you always look at, you're always not listening to me when I'm trying to talk to you, then later on, you want to come and express emotions to that person, so, you know, to get intimate. The person that you gave all that negative vibration, they're not going to be in a space where they can actually give you that affection that you're asking for. Now that creates a whole nother issue. Now you have something on top of the negative stuff that you were speaking on before. Now you're going to add that on top of, now when I try to be affectionate towards you, you're not showing me no affection. What's wrong? Is it somebody else? This, that, and the other. And it doesn't necessarily have to be anyone else. It's just the fact that you've been giving off all of the negative energy, which caused the person to take in that negative energy, and now they don't have any positive energy to give back to you. What do you think about that, Carl?
Words sometimes tear you down. I feel that you're right. I hear people, going off, cursing they made out, saying all kind of stuff about them. And then, then they want to, make love or whatever. And see, male and female are different. Male are more what you say out your mouth. Female is more feelings. You know what I mean? Like, so if a man hurt her feelings, she can't be physically. If a guy, you say stuff to him, it tears them up. You have to, you have to, like I said, that's what being two adults. If something is going on that's not right, you talk about it. You know what I mean? You explain stuff to each other. If me and you in a relationship and then I'm mad, you don't know why I'm mad because I didn't tell you why I'm mad. So I'm walking around the house, my mouth poked out, I'm not saying nothing to you, I'm giving you bad vibes. And then maybe later on down the road, you'd be like, well, babe, why you was mad at me? You'd be like, well, you left the dishes in the sink. Okay, well, I mean, if you didn't tell me, how am I supposed to know what I did wrong? You got to be open in a relationship to tell somebody what you don't like, what is going on, so they could deal with it. I mean, because leaving dishes in the sink could turn into a way big blowout, and then you leave each other, which it was nothing but dishes in the sink.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, something that small can snowball into a barrier in your relationship. If you're unable to properly communicate, I think that's one of the key elements to a relationship, that we have to learn how to communicate with each other properly and be mindful of, as you said, words. Words hurt. So we have to be mindful of the words that we choose to use. Me personally, I don't like having a conversation when I'm annoyed or when I'm angry. I'd rather pause the conversation, regroup, and then continue the conversation after I've cooled down and gathered my thoughts. I think doing that prevents you from saying some things that could ultimately start chipping away at your relationship. What do you think, Cole?
And then I feel like this. If you're angry or something that your mate did that you didn't like, you know, when you're together by yourself or whatever, you sit down and say, and even if you go off and say, well, you know what, I didn't like when we was out and you used so and you was up too close on them, or I felt like you was disrespecting me, whatever, whatever. You're getting it out. And then that person could say, well, it's your friend. We were just talking. You're taking it the wrong way. Because sometimes we see things and it's not the way it really is. You know what I mean? So we have to catch ourselves. I think that sometimes if you're two adults, why can't you come together and talk about whatever that you're not liking? Because you just going on saying, oh, I just hate that guy. He, what you call it, he just get on my nerves, this and that. Then that's the little thing that it starts growing in you, and it become a big thing when you could just say, look, I don't like when you do this. Don't do it again. And then if they do it again, say, we discussed that. I say, I don't like it. Don't do it again. You know what I mean? Sometimes you have to re-tell the person again.
Okay. We're down to 1 minute of the show. Caller, it's been a pleasure having you, as well as Solution. Glad you chimed in today. We're looking forward to next Wednesday. It's been great for all of the listeners. I appreciate you from listening. That's it for tonight. See you again next. Speak to you again next Wednesday. Welcome to Let's Talk About It All. Thanks again.
Shout out Young Swiss.
Get a shot of one. So I remember all the past lessons that you learned from. A 90-day rule, but we rushed it too. In 2 months, we send a text, I love you. In 5 months, became the best of friends. In 7 months, we put our first picture on the gram. On the foundation that we lay and stay stable when nature throws us a curve, but love wins again. Thank you for showing me that I can love again. I'm your homie, you're a lover, homie, lover, friend. Yeah.
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
Been 2 years and we still running.
Oh.
To get them butterflies when I see you coming. It's funny how life all works. You gotta open up your heart to operate to see how life works.
Yeah,
when there's rain showers, the sun shines again. Gotta weather every storm just to sail again.
Whoa.
I know the time is now, I gotta do official. I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make your pinky promise that you never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future is scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the morning, born as you, I wanna see you. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.